to a Hope 103.2 podcast.
Well, last night I explored with you how suffering is understood in Hinduism and Buddhism. And I briefly said that Christianity takes a different path. In short, for Hinduism, suffering is divinely sanctioned balance. It's a payback for the wrongs we've committed in this life or a previous reincarnation. Karma determines everything. In Buddhism, suffering is thought of as the result of human desires. If you desire wealth and health, then poverty and sickness are going to feel like pain. If you're able to remove your desires for wealth, health, love, and everything else, the events of this world won't harm you. You'll have a peace that transcends the world of experience. The Bible teaches something very, very different about suffering, and I'll get to that later in the week. For now, I want to talk about how suffering is understood in Islam and in atheism. 1,000 years after the birth of Buddhism, the Middle East would witness the rise of one of the most powerful social movements in the history of the world, the religion of Islam, a word which translates as submission, that is, submission to God. Unlike Buddhism, Islamic thought, which is codified in the Quran, did not arise in particular response to human misery, so its treatment of the topic of suffering is far more cursory. Nevertheless, a clear and comprehensive answer to the question of suffering is offered in Islam. For the Muslim, now the word Muslim means one who submits, for the Muslim, all events in history are absolutely determined. The falling of a leaf, the trajectory of an asteroid, all of it is controlled by the explicit will of Allah. Events which cause suffering, therefore, such as a plane crash or a war or a deformation of a baby and so on, are the direct result of the specific finger of the Almighty. Now, historically speaking, Muslims hold this view because, quite unlike other Middle Eastern faiths like Judaism and Christianity, Islamic theology appears to have been influenced by the thinking of the great Greek philosopher Aristotle. Indeed, Arabs are often credited with preserving for the world the writings of this most famous student of Plato. Aristotle, in describing God, coined the phrase the unmoved mover. That is, God moves all events in the universe, but is himself moved by nothing. He causes all effects, but is affected by no cause, if you can get what I mean. Islamic theory reflects this view of God in a highly developed way. Allah himself is never moved by anything in the world, but anything that moves in the world is moved by Allah. Now, this is not determinism in the strict sense, since determinism in philosophy usually refers to the belief that all events are the result of fixed and impersonal causes, but Muslims insist that Allah is a highly personal and highly involved being. A good friend of mine, Margaret, was telling me recently about her first-hand experience of this dimension of Islamic philosophy. She and two of her girlfriends had been travelling around Turkey during the holy month of Ramadan, when one day at about sunset in the middle of the city of Ankara, they accidentally locked their keys in the car. Within minutes, a crowd of very interested men were gathering around the car, which would have been a very frightening experience in any city. With the sun going down and the girls surrounded, they were pretty concerned, to say the least. Luckily, they learned of a motor mechanic nearby and so pleaded with him to come and help them get the keys out of the car. "I'm afraid I cannot," he replied, "for it is the will of Allah that your keys are in there." Now, Margaret assures me this man was deadly serious, but I can't help thinking he was just your typical bloke, either too lazy to get off his backside to help or looking to create some good story to laugh about later with his mates. All the same, the story does illustrate, perhaps only humorously, something quite central to Muslim belief, namely that all things in the universe, even locked keys in the car, are caused by the explicit will of Allah. To quote Yusuf Ali, the Muslim scholar whose commentary supplements the Quran on my bookshelf, in Quranic language, he says, all consequences are described to God, the cause of all causes. Now, the reasons Allah should determine that a plane would crash or a baby be deformed or a war break out are, of course, unknowable and indeed unquestionable for the Muslim. Now, to an outsider, this may seem a bit of a hard pill to swallow, but for the Muslim, this is both logical and meaningful. It's logical because the ways of the Almighty are, by definition, beyond the comprehension of our small brains. It's meaningful for the Muslim because the cause of suffering is found to be not in any factor external to God, such as the doctrine of karma in Hinduism, but in the personal activity of the sovereign God himself. Suffering thus becomes an opportunity for the Muslim to submit to Allah's indisputable will and to reaffirm the central creed that Allah is the cause of all causes. To question Allah at this point, to cry out to him, "Why God?" is to refuse submission and therefore to miss the simplicity of Islamic life. Now, different from all of these religious perspectives that I've been talking about, the Hindu, the Buddhist, and the Islamic perspective, is the completely non-religious explanation of suffering found in atheism, the conviction that there's no God at all. For the atheist, suffering isn't the result of karma or the desire of Allah or anything like that. It's just natural, the unhappy byproduct of a universe driven only by the random intersection of time and space. Everything that happens in the world, whether good or bad, happens without any design, without any thought of us at all. Perhaps the best known proponent of this atheistic view is the Oxford University scientist Richard Dawkins. Listen to this Dawkins quote on the topic of suffering. "In a universe of blind physical forces and genetic replication, some people are going to get hurt, other people are going to get lucky, and we won't find any rhyme or reason in it, nor any justice. The universe we observe has precisely the properties we should expect if there is at the bottom no design, no purpose, no evil, and no good. Nothing but blind, pitiless indifference. DNA neither knows nor cares. DNA just is, and we dance to its music." In other words, terrible events such as the devastation of an earthquake, the rape of a young woman, or the growth of a malignant cancer emerge as the inevitable consequences of chance, or in Dawkins' more colourful phrase, blind, pitiless indifference. A major question emerges in my mind as I ponder an atheistic evolutionary account of the problem of pain and suffering. Could I live in the midst of a world of pain, truly believing that behind it all, there's absolutely no reason, no design, and no pity? I don't doubt that I could maintain the position intellectually, particularly if I've never actually experienced pain. But in the midst of real suffering, can it be maintained emotionally? Years ago, a Christian philosopher I know was invited to debate an atheist philosopher on the question of suffering. And during the debate, the atheist insisted that since all events in the universe are random and mindless, the pursuit of questions of meaning in suffering was itself meaningless and irrational. The Christian responded that such a view could not possibly be lived out in the real world. Men and women faced with profound injustice or misery have always, and probably will always, cry out, "Why?" He argued that such questions appear to be a necessary consequence of our nature as self-aware beings. Now, at the time, the two philosophers agreed to disagree. But a year or so later, they met again in a more private setting. It turns out that several months after this initial debate, the atheist had lost his own daughter in a terrible rape murder. He now confided in his Christian opponent that despite his intellectual commitment to atheism, when his daughter was killed, he found himself unable to resist the impulse to cry out why, to look for some kind of meaning. In his head, atheism seemed reasonable enough, but in his experience, it collapsed. The thought that his daughter's life had been lost to a universe of blind, pitiless indifference, to use Dawkins' phrase, was unbearable, was unlivable. Of course, Christianity has a very different take on the question of suffering. The Bible does not lead us to believe that everything in the universe happens simply because it has been fixed by the will of God, as Islam would say. The Bible says that other factors are involved. And obviously the Bible would challenge the atheist assumption that the universe has no rhyme or reason. There is a God, and there is a plan. And our suffering, though painful, does have some meaning within that plan. And tomorrow night I want to begin to explore the unique and beautiful teaching of the Bible on this very difficult subject of evil and suffering. I hope you can join me then.
Hope 103.2. Thanks for listening.